This guy had quite the interesting week. First, he's in his hometown, and he's taken the Providence Friars now to their fifth consecutive NCAA tournament. That's never been done before. In addition to winning a couple wars, including beating Xavier for the second time this year before falling to Villanova in the Big East Championship game, had a wardrobe malfunction. Ed Cooley joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Man, listen, you used to be heavy. Now you're not. How are you splitting your pants now?
In all honesty, I called our seamstress and the people who do our clothes, and I told them they may need a new client because that was it was funny because I didn't know. And then I kept feeling, I said, wow, it's chilly in here all of a sudden. What happened? So now you know what you got to make in front of yourself. It like, for everybody who really knows me, I'm surprised I didn't take my pants off and just coach in my underwear, you know?
That's why Huggy always wears sweats, right? You maybe have to go Bob Huggins, go sweats and pull over. The Natalie attired normally, Ed Cooley joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Your team is fascinating because, as you and I discussed when I call your game, you lost Emmett Holt early in the season, and he's such an important part, not just in terms of the numbers that he puts up, but in the way in which it allows you to play. It gives you a guy who can step out and shoot threes. He can score in the post as well. So it took you a while to evolve to this team. How long before you kind of knew what you had?
I think a couple of things happened. I think, you know, we had to have some honest conversations with each other based on chemistry, on roles, on, you know, this is the deepest team that I've coached, but you can't play 13 guys. You can't play 12 guys. So you had to have some real conversations. And when that happened, I thought guys were at least on the same page on honesty. Second thing that happened was, I think, as we were getting close to the end of the year, we were trying to become a tournament team. And I met with the seniors and I talked to them about they would be the only class in the history of Providence College up to this point to go to four consecutive NCAA tournaments. So we talked about legacy, not how you start, how you finish. And then I thought, lastly, the best thing that happened was Madison Square Garden, the Big East tournament, the energy, the excitement in the building made us play at another level. So that was great to see.
All right, so how much gas is in the tank? I mean, you guys expended a lot with, three straight, you know, you had all those overtime games, and then you play Nova for a Big East championship in the Garden. There is a ton of energy playing at MSG. How much gas is in the tank for your game, which is a tough one against Texas A&M?
Well, I thought we had a great practice today. We only practiced for like an hour. We didn't watch any film yet. We concentrated on some systematic things in order to try to play with and play against Texas A&M because they have great size. They rebound the hell out the ball. They're well coached. So we're going to have to make sure we're disciplined in our approach and what we're trying to do. And the guys were great today. They had great energy. There's a snowstorm coming up the east, so we'll practice tomorrow morning. I think there's a lot left in the tank. The success in the Big East tournament gave our guys a lot of energy and a lot of desire to keep playing.
Yeah, and you know, also an extra day doesn't hurt either, too, right? Don't you guys play Friday against A&M?
Yeah, I thank the committee for getting us to Friday because we definitely could use the rest.
What has been the secret? You know, Providence is a program that it's had some tremendous coaches historically, but there's been a lack of consistency. You've been able to come back home and five straight years at PC. And look, the Big East is a war. Double round robins. All the schools are essentially just about the same. Obviously, Nova has been atop the league. But right. You got all private schools all along the eastern, midwestern, eastern seaboard into the Midwest. Like, last time, how have you been able to be consistent, which is the hardest thing to build at PC?
Well, I think our leadership. I think Father Shanley, our president, Bob Driscoll, you know, our board of trustees, they've allocated funds. They're all in to try to help us build the brand nationally, not just regionally, as a great academic institution that supports athletics. And they've been unbelievable. Our staff has been great. Jeff Battle, who is on his third year. Brian Blaney is on his 10th year with me. Ivan Thomas on his fourth year, as is Jeff. But I just think the consistency of everything has allowed us to recruit a higher level player. It's allowed us, you know, I think television has helped, and winning has helped. Winning has helped attract, you know, different players that haven't been consistently coming to Providence through the years. And the fact that we have continuity at the head coach's seat where there's not turnover or there's not a job that's out there that everybody, you know, thinks you should take. I think all those things have helped us build a program.
Yeah, but you got to admit, it's pretty crazy. I mean, think about it. And like the job, like, for example, UConn comes open over the weekend, right? And if not for the fact you got a top 10 recruiting class, you're from Providence, like, you go back 4 years ago and you would say UConn or the Providence job, what's the question? How quickly do I leave? But Providence has become a better job. So take when the Big East reformed, did you now get 2-1 seeds out of the same Big East conference once it's been reformed? How'd this happen? How was this able to be a league that went from kind of a combination of some high to some upper mid majors to becoming a league that produces 2-1 seeds?
Well, I think the presidents were really smart. The ADs were really smart when they took the monster of football out of the equation, because it was always a moving target. Are the football schools leaving? Are the basketball schools leaving? Once we decided to be a basketball-centric league and a lot of resources went into just basketball, we've been able to build that way. You know, and when you look at it, most of the coaches have remained at the schools.
Right.
You know, most of the coaches have stayed there, so there's not a lot of turnover and the consistency. If you look over the 5 years since we reconfigured, how many coaching changes have been made? Three? Maybe four? Anything?
Well, Butler's had, I guess, three, really, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They
yeah,
kind of fell yeah, into Chris Holtman, who was on the staff. DePaul has had one, right? Well, I mean, the successful ones obviously haven't changed. Creighton hasn't changed. Xavier hasn't changed. Marquette had one when Buzz left. That was a couple years ago. But, yeah, you're mostly right. That's the difference, right, is that now when you win, you don't leave and chase the dollar. Chris Mack has not chased any more money. And, you know, St. John's obviously made a change, but they've struggled, and maybe that's why they've struggled to find consistency.
I think as much consistency you can have with staff, with the head coach, and then, you know, being allowed to do things from a recruiting standpoint, you know, being able to go see kids on a minute's notice, being able to, you know, upgrade your facilities. Everything in our business is about recruiting. So hopefully, you know, the Big East continues to do that. And a round robin helps. You know, when you have some of the off-balance leagues,
yep,
you can never get some of those teams at home.
Yeah.
You know, so that helps. And then you go on in tough environments on the road, it prepares you to get to that tournament. So I think we're battle-tested. The leagues, you know, Val Ackerman's doing a great job with her staff. I'm really proud of six teams once again,
yep,
getting into the tournament from 60% of the leagues. Pretty doggone good. You know, and really, really good.
And the depth of the league probably ate up Marquette, to be honest. They might make an NCAA tournament in a different league. I want to ask you about Kyron Cartwright, your point guard, who
yep,
kind of had an up-and-down senior year, but he has this ability in a big moment to just make a play. What's this experience? I mean, he was originally going to play for Max Good at Loyola Marymount, and, you know, then he was the backup. You had Chris Dunn, an All-American, a lottery pick. What's it like to coach a player who at times can be very frustrating, but at times you go, hey, man, just go make a play, and he does it.
He is the smartest player I've ever coached, and second would be Jared Dudley. Their minds see things before it happens. High basketball IQ. You know, it does get frustrating because I want more out of Kyron than I think Kyron wants out of himself. He's a great kid, unbelievable ambassador for the school, great student. But I think in the big moments is what he plays for. And I said, you have to have more consistency every day, not just the big moment. He's probably had 8 to 10 game winners since we've had him over 4 years. You know, hopefully from here on out, because, you know, his next loss is his last loss here, he understands that this is really valuable. And when he plays well, we're a really tough out.
Yeah. You know what it is, Jared Dudley, him, West Coast guys. That just shows you. You know, you East Coast, Northeast, we're so much tougher. You got to get the smart guys from the West Coast. That's what you have to do. That's what Craig Smith and Jared
yeah,
Dudley came from the West Coast, won you all those games. You're an assistant at BC. Same thing in Providence. I encourage you to get out here, get in the sun. When you want to play golf, you always go play in Fairfield. Why don't you come play courses in the West Coast?
I know. I love playing golf. I'm not very good. But I'll come dressed like I'm a 2 handicap.
Okay, so here's the real question. All right, yesterday, you're getting ready for the selection show, but Tiger on 18.
I know.
Had it gone to extra holes, would you have been watching Tiger, or would you have been watching to where your team went?
A true transparency?
Yes.
I'm watching Tiger. How about the putt on 17?
Oh, my God.
Make it interesting.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting here waiting for the selection to go, and people are freaking out. People are freaking out.
So, you know, one of our coaches came and said, did you see the putt? I'm like, of course I did. What do you mean? I tell you, it's what a sport, you know, where it's just you, the course, and the ball. Honestly, I fell in love with maybe 10 years ago. I'm not very good, but I enjoy playing because nobody can bother you. It's just a great time.
All right, we'll find you some more West Coast kids when you come out here. We'll play some golf. In the meantime, take care of the Aggies, and then ho-hum, maybe you have North Carolina in your second game. It's never easy for the PC Friars for the fifth straight year. They're in the NCAA tournament thanks to this guy, Ed Cooley. Get some new slacks, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that's Ed Cooley joining us, who's one of the absolute gems, great people in the sport. What a great ambassador to his hometown.